Will you pray with me? Into these moments, O God, we seek your Holy Spirit. Instill and discern within us ready hearts, lives convicted by the power of your word and the invitation of Christ. Help us surrender self and to find our true self in you. Let us imagine with you a people experienced in faithfulness and sharing the power of the gospel. An amazing church witnessing your name. We seek to be that church and to be that people. Use now these moments of word and scripture together to envision with us a people of faith. And it's in Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. I think before you get really started, would you thank Hannah and the rest of the choir? Blessings. Wonderfully done. Yeah. I knew you were just holding that one. You wanted that. This morning we're in series about number 6 in Francis Chan's book, Letters to the Churches. And this is a chapter entitled Crucified. And the opening passage out of Galatians suggests that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That crucified Christ who engages us where we are and transforms us and calls us to be now much more than a people who would merely believe, but would demonstrate the sacrificial power of his love in humility and in grace, working the nature of God's redemptive power. Chan says that there are millions in our country who call themselves Christians because they believe that the Christian life is about admiring Christ's example, not realizing it is a call to follow it. There can be no misinterpretation, Chan says, what Christ is calling for. That's why he had such few disciples. The call is for Christ and to follow him. And it's a call to die. Becoming a Christian is a complete and a total surrender of our own selfish desires, our own fleshly needs, in order to have that purpose to glorify and serve God. It means you die to yourself and you put on Christ. It would seem as if some of us would believe, as has been recorded in modern day, that if you sit in church, that makes you a Christian, just like sitting in a garage would make you a car. It really does take something to transform us into the crucified Christ. Not merely the popular one that we might like to share on Facebook or offer in a celebrity call. His celebrity is not that of the way of joy and abundance. It is sacrificial love and obedience. Jesus said in the passage that was read, an invitation, if you want to be my disciple, if any one of you would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Losing one's life for the sake of the gospel cannot be done merely in intellectual pursuits. It can't even be done in casual encounters out of which we do some task and then wait for another. The call, Chan says, to follow Christ is a call to joyful endurance of suffering in this life for the promise of eternal blessing in the next. Suffering, you see, is rarely discussed in the American church. Chan says he finds it ironic because suffering is all through the New Testament. The more I study the Gospels, the more I'm convinced that those of us who live in the United States have a warped view of what it means to be a Christian. We act as though surrender is some kind of lifelong process where we slowly decide whether or not to give up certain things to follow God. Now, don't misunderstand Chan. There is sanctification, which is a slow, ongoing process of transforming us into followers of Christ. But this decision to follow Christ is once and for all a surrender to self and a discovery to the rich blessing that only Christ can give. There was opportunities out of which I shared in ministry in an Appalachian Service Project, ASP. A group of about 60 youth were going to repair homes in Appalachian counties, and we found ourselves normally sleeping in gymnasiums or in other places that could afford us showers, and we normally liked air conditioning. But this one particular station that we were able to stay in was a very old schoolhouse, and we took the upstairs areas, but downstairs in the lower basement was where the showers were held. You had to go down into a kind of muddy floor area to cross over onto the concrete where the showers were erected. You sort of waded through that dark standing water that was left from runoffs and other things that you didn't really want to think much about, to find yourself to what was really a prized garden hose that had two knobs on it. One said cold and one said hot, but hot was sort of lukewarm at best. One of the young students that I was with experienced the shower for the first time on Monday and said, "I'm not going to do that again till Friday." Hard work and physical exercise sort of produces a bodily odor that requires showers on a more regular basis. He held out on Tuesday, and most of us thought it was rather quaint, but when Wednesday came, it was anything less than that, and the dear homeowner that we were putting a roof on heard some of the other kids kind of teasing him and him having his struggle, and so she politely and quietly went to him and said, "I want you tomorrow. Bring your towel and bring your clean clothes, and at the end of the day, before your van loads up, I'll let you sneak in and you can use my shower." He just beamed with delight, but he didn't bother to tell any of us leaders that that was his plan. So he arrived and we did our work, and just as was timed, the dear lady that we were working for called him inside, and he gathered his things and ran into her shower and turned it on, only to find that the tepid warm water that we had at the schoolhouse was actually hot in comparison to her well water and the no hot water that she showered in every day. I wonder whether or not we understand that dying to self really does mean giving up those conveniences we take for granted. Moving on to embrace that suffering as Christians, that those Christians like us around the world don't take for granted, but take it as a challenge each and every day. Chan tells several stories in his book of the underground churches in China and in India and other places where it is illegal to worship as Christians, and yet you would not sustain or hesitate to gather as a Christian community even if the threat was great. Chan says, we are not pursuing suffering just for suffering's sake. We pursue Jesus, and suffering always accompanies him. Our suffering, Chan says, must be motivated out of love. We suffer because we love people, and yes, even our enemies. Jesus loved the marginalized, the rejected, the forgotten, and at the end of his life, his hands and his feet were nailed to a cross. Real love demands something of us, Chan says, and it will lead us into suffering. The writing of 1 Peter says it like this, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad in his glory as it's revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. I had an opportunity to cross paths with a lady by the name of Martha. Martha had been the victim of domestic violence for 3 encounters. Yet after each one, it seemed as if she would surrender to the cause and turmoil in her life and would return back to her abuser. There would even be moments out of which Martha would believe somehow that this suffering was similar to the suffering of Christ. How unimaginable. It wouldn't be till the 3rd time when I met Martha at the emergency room after she'd been badly beaten that she was worrying about her 2 children at home and asked if there could be any way I could arrange for someone to care for them while she recovered. We put a call out to our team, and several of them looked at spaces in their home or in other places, but all of them were understanding that there was an element of risk. If you sheltered Martha's 2 children, then certainly her abusive husband would know where they were and could likely come and find you and them. After surveying probably about 10 families, we came back with no options for Martha. And Martha said to the social worker that was there, then arrange for my children to go into foster care and I'll sign the paperwork. I hate for that to happen, but that's my last alternative. The social worker left to draw up the papers, and in future exchanges with Martha, I got a telephone call from another member of the church, not a part of the care team. This person said to me that their family has been blessed with this little summer cottage that's in a very exclusive location. Nobody really can find it. It doesn't have a zip code or a mailbox or even a phone. It has 3 bedrooms, and she said, I'd be happy to take Martha and her 2 children to my summer place if that would afford her a chance to do something different. I returned just before Martha signed the papers that her children would be moved into child care. I extended the invitation, and she took up the dear member's offer. For the next 6 weeks, they'd be in their summer spot, working with the Coalition on Domestic Violence and working with those to find employment activities and, believe it or not, buying enough time that her foolish husband would commit a couple other very serious crimes, not of abuse, so she did not have to sign paperwork against him, but he would be incarcerated and would be removed for then a number of years, and her children could start again. It would seem as if you and I would understand an invitation to die to self and live to Christ. Chan ends this chapter with a whole series of scripture passages, but one in particular I'd share for you out of Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake. Harm, challenge, opportunity. Will you let Christ into your life? Not just in word or in token, but truly let Christ be crucified, that Christ might live in us and love through us and sustain others in that power of the gospel. For what He has loved and what He has done has been given that all might know God's steadfast love. Amen.